Thanks, Jason. So explorers is anyone in high school? Yeah.
It's all ages.
Or there's a bit of leeway in that, apparently. Yeah. Oh, that's great. Hi, everyone. I'm Rowan, if you don't know me. I'm one of the pastors here, and yeah, it's great to be here. Put your hand up if you have been listening to Classic FM this weekend, the Classic 100. Their vote has been on for the top 100 songs of the screen, so movies, TV shows, or gaming. Put your hand up if you like playing video games. I think they've all gone out. Or in? Yeah, a few. Sorry, I shouldn't be so stereotypical. Yeah, I have been listening to this morning, and you know, it's something when you vote for something like that, and you listen. Oh yeah, is my favorite song from a movie or TV show going to be on? And it's just something about music that brings emotion and connection with a story, I think. So on the way here, driving here, Local Hero, Mark Knopfler soundtrack came on. And, you know, you just get that feeling straight away, the images of Scotland and the wind and the waves. And it's really cool. And the song Going Home was on there, and there's just a lot of emotion in that. Listened to it, that song in a lot of contexts, and it's something that music does. Anyway, so that's probably a little bit of an aside, but probably music, movies, seasons of life, they're all connected a little bit, I think. So thinking about seasons, what is your favourite season of the year? For me, it's summer. I don't know whether it's because I was born in summer or whether my body type just likes the heat more than the cold. But there's that, you know, that anticipation when it's starting to heat up and you start the bit of a sweat up going. The days are longer. You can do more things outside. I'm seeing a bit of connection to this. Some people shaking their heads. Some people just rejoice in this kind of weather. But for me, and there's that certain smell of, you know, sometimes being at the beach and sunscreen and wearing shorts and a singlet and playing cricket or doing weeding, listening to the cricket. There's something about summer that really gets me. So for you, turn to the person next to you or behind you and just tell them, what is your favourite season of the year and what about that season that makes you thankful for that change of season? So what about it that is certain things that you like about it? Yeah. I'll go to you, Sarah.
Oh, okay.
What's your favourite season?
Just that I love summer.
Well, there was an eruption of noise. That's fantastic. I was just mindful that sometimes with any season, there's good and there's bad, isn't it? And it relates a little bit with this story that we read. So yeah, they're in the boat, and it would have started off really good. There would have been a really excitement. The disciples, okay, Jesus, we're in the boat. Where are we going now? What's going to happen? And then the storm hits. So like all of a sudden, it goes from, oh, this is fantastic, nice, peace and calm, adventure, exciting. And then, boom, the storm comes and there's rain and there's wind and there's waves. And all of a sudden, they're thinking, oh, okay, I'm not so sure now. I wish I had maybe stayed on the shore. Excuse me, my nose. But
what does this story tell us about Jesus, do you think? Just give you a minute to think about what does this story tell us about Jesus.
You know, he's in the boat, he's asleep, the disciples are panicking. Jesus was the one who actually told them to go in the boat. And he might have maybe did he know this was going to happen? Was he panicking? Oh, it doesn't seem so. Why? Why did Jesus lead them in the boat to go across to this place if he knew that there was going to be a storm and there was going to be fear and turmoil and possibly capsizing? Do you think Jesus would have, you know, would he have led them into a place where they would have drowned? This was all, you know, what does this say about Jesus? Have a minute just to talk to the same person that you were talking to before, just to think, just say, what do you think this story says about Jesus? Yeah, great. Hopefully that was all informative to each other. And we know that it would have all come from the scripture. You wouldn't have said anything that was too alarming. For me, I'm really struck by the words, so let us go over to the other side of the lake. So he did have a strategy, a purpose in this. And so I really think that he is in control. So that's, the first thing for me. He is in control. He's leading them. And not only is he showing his power, but he's demonstrating what it's like when you're trusting God no matter what happens. When a storm comes, it didn't change him, did it? It certainly changed the disciples. But he was modeling something, and he was in control of the situation despite what it looked like to the disciples. And then the next thing for me, I really see that he has authority and power to overcome storms. So he didn't prevent the storm from coming, though he probably could have. But he spoke to the wind and the waves. And what did he say? Yeah, be still. I think in this verse, in Luke, he just said he rebuked the wind and the waves. But in other gospel writings, it says, be still, yeah. And that's what a contrast it is from the disciples freaking out, waking him up, saying we're going to drown, to Jesus just saying, be still. Wow. He had the authority to do that and power, and he showed that in an incredible way. And then what does he say? So he allows the disciples to experience this storm. He lets them see his power and authority. And then he says, where's your faith? Oh, man. He's really, really digging down deep into them to say, I'm in control, trust me. And where is your faith in me? Where is your faith in me? And then that comment after that says, in fear and amazement, they asked one another, who is this? We've never experienced anything like this before. This man, surely, I'm sure they were thinking by that stage, he's more than a man. Who is this? He commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him. But what about them? Oh, were they at the right place? I don't know if they were in the right place just then to fully obey him, fully trust him. I think that's why he asked them to think about your faith. Yeah, how much do you trust me? So then we see the purpose of this trip. The purpose of this crossing the sea was to get to the other side. They get to the other side. And I'm sure they're wondering, okay, what's going to happen next? We've gone through this storm. He's showing his power and authority over the wind and the waves. what's going to happen next? And so they cross the lake, they get to this place, and they find this man comes to them. And I'm sure as you're reading the story, pictures come to mind of all the retakes of it, the way that this has been acted and brought into life through different ways. And I'm looking forward to, if you've been watching The Chosen, I'm looking forward to how they do this, because it's so powerful that if you put your hand up if you've been watching The Chosen. Yeah, it's a series that follows the disciples and their encounters with him. Boy, it doesn't take me very much to get emotional, but every single episode, it's just hit me. Just, wow. They encountered him and their lives were transformed. He knew exactly how to speak to them and to their lives, into their lives, and bring transformation, bring healing, bring restoration. And then they followed him. So their faith was in him. And they've said that there's going to be 7 seasons, so there's a lot more to come from The Chosen. Anyway, enough of the plug. Back to the story. So they meet this man, and it would have quickly shown that he was not in his right mind. And so the story goes on with this encounter again with this man and with Jesus. And Jesus says, the man says to him, that was a deep breath. The man says to him, "What do you want with me, Jesus, the Son of the Most High? I beg you, don't torture me." For Jesus had commanded the impure spirit to come out of the man. Many times it had seized him, and though he was chained hand and foot and kept under guard, he had broken his chains and had been driven by the demon into solitary places. So he was in solitary places. There would be physical signs that this man wasn't well. And then Jesus asked him, "What's your name?" So it's so interesting, those encounters of Jesus with different people. What is your name? And was he speaking to the man here, do you think? Or was he speaking to what was obviously going on? I'm not sure. Both, maybe. And so the man, legion, he replied, because many demons had gone into him. And they begged Jesus repeatedly not to order them to go into the abyss. I won't go into what that might mean, but it's obviously not a good thing for them. And so then there were pigs. And so the request came for them, instead of going into the abyss, instead of being wiped out completely, go into the pigs. And so Jesus allowed them to do this. He showed his authority again with these demons to go into the pigs instead of to stay in this man. So that's what happened. And then the pigs go into the water and drown. And you think, imagine the disciples, what would they have been thinking? Like, wow, what just happened there? That this demons that were in this man are now going into the pigs. And then obviously this man must be free now. Wow, Jesus, not only could he calm the sea and the water and the waves, the storm, but there was a serious storm going on in this man's life, and he calms that too. Wow. And then, so he's there in his right mind, begged to go with him. So as most of the encounters that people had with Jesus, they have a transformation experience, and then they want to follow him. And so most of the times that they did follow it. Jesus had a lot of followers. And then, but this time, it's a bit different, isn't it? What's the reply? "Return home and tell how much God has done for you." Return home and tell how much God has done for you. Go and be a witness to your family, to your friends,
to your neighbors. Go to the people who knew what you're like when you're in unwell, when you're overcome with demons. And so that's what Jesus says to him. I wonder for us, for you, what do you think might Jesus say to you after you've had an experience with Jesus? You think maybe, yeah, he would go back to your family and friends and tell them, you know, this is what it was like. Even maybe today or during the week, you've had an experience, an encounter with Jesus, and he's really spoken to you, and that's helped in some way. You might have gone through a storm in your life. You might have gone through some sort of difficulty, even maybe experienced great joy. And you might want to just keep that to yourself, perhaps, or just be around other people who have experienced the same thing. But perhaps there's people who haven't had the same experience as you have, and you can share that with them. You can witness, and probably they could probably see it. You know, the people that know you well, probably you don't need to say a lot. You can just explain, well, I believe that this is God doing this in my life, and I want to share that with you. And I'd love for you to experience the same thing. So yeah, think about who might we be called to. So I just wrote a few points here. He calls us to testify to those around us. And I really feel like he would have done this. I mean, he wouldn't have been able to escape this. It would have just been so clear to everyone once he goes back into the town. And in another version of this story, people come out and tell Jesus and his disciples to get lost because of what the pig's done. So they don't have a chance to stay and explain. So they need someone to stay, don't they? To bring God's kingdom to them. And then I wonder, there's somewhere, I tried to look for it, it indicates that they might go back there at some point later. And actually, what seems to have happened is that he did share and that people did come and believe in him. And instead of saying, oh no, not you again, they welcome him and say, come and stay with us. Sorry, I couldn't find where that was, but it's in here somewhere. Someone's nodding their head, so thanks. What an amazing thing for him to have stayed and witnessed there to that amazing transformation, for others to experience that too. It's a bit like the woman at the well as well. You know, she went back and she said, come and see a man who told me everything I ever did. And so they do. They come and see him. And he stays there for a few days, and there's many who are saved there, many who are healed there. And so that's the calling for us, to testify. So the next thing is, actually trust him and live by faith, testify to those around us. And then the third thing I see in this passage is sometimes it requires us to perhaps go across a lake and to people who might be in need. Go to where people are in need. That might be across the street. That might be picking up the phone and going and sharing your voice and encouragement with people. That might be going, don't know, across suburbs, across town, across the country. Just that might mean going to somewhere. So when I think about going, I think of migrating and leading back into seasons. I think about animals that migrate. So elephants are incredible. They travel long distances to go from where there's no food to where there is.
And sometimes it's a very long way. But there's always someone in the herd who leads. There's usually it's a matriarch who leads the herd along the way. And that picture just kind of depicts that a little bit. There's that care, that nurture, and the road ahead to go in search of food. And they're not really governed by a GPS, are they? They're not governed by a map. They're governed by instincts and a real trust. You know, there's a little tackers behind it, and they hold on to the tails, and they follow. Mom, where are we going? I don't know. We're following. But we're in search of food. And I just get that sense of, yes, that seasons of life, different seasons of life, cause us to trust and live by faith in different ways. That's written there on the next slide there. Seasons of life cause us to trust and live by faith in different ways. And I don't know what you might be going through right now. Perhaps you've come through the storm, and you have a testimony to share with other people. Perhaps you're just getting into the boat and you're not sure what might happen next. So I guess that's me. That's Anika and I. Yeah. Like I said, it doesn't take very much for me to get emotional. But so Anika would have been here, but a couple of the kids are a bit sick. But yeah, we just wanted to share with you that we're going into a different season of life. We feel a calling to go and to make disciples full time. I feel called to the regions of Western Australia and to go out, and that means a change for us. That means for us we're gonna finish up at the church. So So yeah, we made that announcement to a few people during the week, and some of those conversations people have said that makes complete sense. It's a surprise to some extent, and going to be sad to leave and to that change, but. Yeah, it makes complete sense for you to go and to fulfill that calling. And so, we're really looking to join the Praxis WA team as supported workers. And that really is about getting into the boat and trusting. Yeah, and I suppose the emotion comes through looking at all of you. knowing how much we're loved here and supported here, and seeing all the friendly faces and just thinking about how long we've been here. Does anyone know how long we've been here? How many years? 6 years? Almost eight? I'll split the middle. We've been here for 7 years. And when we started here in 2015, we had one child and one on the way. Isaac was just about to turn two. We came to answer the call as youth pastors to do youth ministry. We hadn't had a lot of experience with doing that, but we knew that there was a great team that was here already, so it was kind of we'll come and support those already doing the ministry here, and then within about 6 to 9 months, most of those youth leaders moved on. They either got married and went to other churches, or it's just that season of life for them to make that change. So, yeah, we had to really trust in God to provide another team to build around us, and that happened really quite quickly, amazingly. We went from, at the end of 2016, I think there was 3 youth leaders, to then the next year there was 8. So God just provided. We were never alone in this. There was always people supporting us and encouraging us, and now just incredible to see the youth ministry now, people that mentored and discipled and encouraged and personally asked, would you be a youth leader? And now instrumental in seeing that next generation come through and hearing the good news and having activities and programs in a way to bring discipleship, as Toby shared. Like, Toby, you would have been just probably 12, no, or maybe younger when I started. Yeah, and seeing some of those guys in year 7, 8 come through, and now in uni, it's really quite amazing. And so I see that God had us here for a season to invest into people's lives. Sorry. And I'm confident that the next step is going to be the same as we go and think about what's it going to take to see towns in the Wheat Belt and the Great Southern be transformed, to experience God's power and authority and see new believers come, see vibrant spiritual communities be developed where people, towns are shrinking, people are moving away. But what could happen if God really takes hold of those towns? And He might use us to catalyze a movement of His Spirit and new disciples who then go and make other disciples and see groups formed and towns be transformed like we've heard in this story. And so, as much as them might make a change for us to finish up our ministry as pastors here at Parkey, I know that there's some great things to come. And so, just made a note here that Anika and I certainly don't feel like we're extra special or super heroes in any sense doing this, or even foolish. You might think, why are they doing that? But we understand that we can't do this ourselves. And so I really ask that you please pray for us as we figure out what this might look like, as we kind of look to formally finish up at the church and become supported workers formally with Praxis. I'll certainly be continuing to pray for you guys to know the calling individually and as church. And so just to clarify, who Praxis is. So Praxis is an organization. It's a real, use the word grassroots, I think, because it's people who have realized that a call to make disciples is a lifelong thing. And a lot of people were in ministry in a church before, I suppose similar story to us, and who said, well, how can we partner with churches and other people and teams to go out and to do this in a full-time capacity? So Praxis, they're an amazing organization. They're set up so well to take care of everything financially. If you want to know more, feel free ask me. And Jill's here. So Jill, she's a supported worker with Praxis, and there's a whole team across Australia, internationally too. So I think that's probably clarifying. And also, you're probably thinking, oh, when? How long? Looking probably until the middle of August to finish up about then. Our time at Parkey has been such a blessing, and so it's not goodbye just yet. Just wanted to give to make that announcement officially. And yeah, so I'm going to pray. Yeah, thanks. Yeah, God, our Father in heaven, you are so good, and we do trust you, we do love you, and we do worship you, and we commit all our lives into your hands. We want to be a people who are your witnesses, who go in the power of your Spirit, who will go in the name of Jesus, our Savior, the Messiah, who has power and authority to bring healing, to calm storms, to bring transformation in our lives. And we are so grateful for all that you have done in our lives. We are so grateful for bringing us together as a church here in this place. And we're so grateful for your word that speaks to us. And so we ask specifically that you'll bring people across our path this week who need us to share with them what you have done in our lives, and to urge them, could this be a man that you could follow? Could this be a man that is more than a man, who's actually God's representative, that God's son? And can we experience the fullness of his love? And so could you. So thank you for this time, and yeah, really commit ourselves to you, Lord Jesus. Please fill us with your Spirit and send us out. In your mighty name, amen.